It's the X's and O's.
I think they're doing a really good job from that standpoint.
It's the radio shows.
Once it blew up, you know, the NFL got to do what the NFL got to do.
It's exclusive and in-depth conversations with the GM.
It took a little bit longer than I was comfortable with, but fortunately we got better.
It's all that and more, and it's Texans Weekly, starting right now. Texans Weekly is brought to you in part by M&G Bank, the official bank of the Houston Texans. And by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome into Texans Weekly. We have a great 30 minutes in store for you as the Houston Texans prepare for their home opener against the Tennessee Titans. Of course, the team is coming off their biggest comeback win in franchise history after knocking off the San Diego Chargers 31-28 in that big Monday night game in San Diego. But that one is in the books. Now the players, coaches, team, fans, everyone looking forward to Liberty Whiteout on Sunday.
Well, obviously, we're all looking at one game, one regular season game, but, you know, they went and built their running game with a lot of their play pass and boot and what they're doing and doing some very quarterback-friendly stuff. And, you know, that's what you got to do with your young player. You got to get his confidence going and, you know, and help him out from that standpoint. And I think they're doing a really good job of that. I mean, just looking at them offensively, what little bit I've looked at, you know, of them, you know, I think they're doing a really good job from that standpoint.
I think any division opponent's a big rival. I mean, you look at Tennessee, you got the Colts, you have Jacksonville. Anytime you play a team twice a year, there's definitely going to be a little bit of a rivalry there. And so it's always exciting when you play a team inside your division because also you know how big it is for the standings and how big it is for the bigger picture.
Well, they're an aggressive group. A team we know well, you know, play twice a year. But, they're an active, very fast flow, physical defense. And, we're going to have to be at our, top form for 60 minutes. You know, they're a good defensive group, really held Pittsburgh, in check. And, so we're going to have our hands full.
I mean, there's only been one game so far, so we don't have a lot of film on them. But, I mean, you know, Tennessee always plays it tough. You know, they're always a very physical team. And that's what you have to prepare for.
So again, fans, just a reminder, it is Liberty Whiteout. Come on out here to Reliance Stadium, wear your white as you root on your Houston Texans. We have to take our first time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, our one-on-one with General Manager Rick Smith. Stay with us. Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Joining me now, General Manager Rick Smith, as he does each and every week. And I know you're here with a big, fat smile on your face after last weekend.
Well, it was a good beginning. Obviously, we didn't start the game the way we wanted to. We started it like we had sat around a hotel all day long. But fortunately, we woke up about the middle of the third quarter, and I was really proud the way that we responded.
So as you're sitting there watching the game from your seat, your box, your booth, wherever you are, and the game starts out that way, what's going through your mind early on?
Well, you start off with Keyshawn making a questionable decision to come out of the end zone, and then you start off with the interception, and then you've got penalties, and so you just right away you're just watching a group, you know, make mistakes and do what you can't do on the road in this league and be successful. So you're kind of waiting for things to settle down. You're waiting for, you know, better play to evolve. And like I said, fortunately, it took a little bit longer than I was comfortable with, but fortunately, we got better.
Well, it did. And, of course, Matt Schaub comes out with the pick right off the top. And I know your heart probably just went out for him. But how proud of you, of him are you, just for what he did to stay with it, not let him bring him down, and especially what he did in bringing that team back in the second half?
Well, I mean, it was just very, very impressive. I mean, and I've talked all preseason about, I think Matt's evolution is very much like our team. I think he is not a finished product. I think a lot of people were willing and ready to write him off, but I think he's got a lot of productive football ahead of himself. And I thought the way that he maintained his poise, which was something that Gary talked to the entire team about, maintaining your poise, because the excitement for the opening day is going to be there, but the team that could maintain their poise throughout the course of the football game would give itself the best chance to win. And I thought Matt demonstrated that. I thought he made some significant plays in the game. I thought he was excellent off schedule, and he threw the ball effectively well. So I was just proud of him.
Let's talk, and if I can have you elaborate on the penalty. Really, that was one of the turning points in the game, the unnecessary roughness, Cam Thomas on John Weeks. And a day later, of course, it comes out the referees saying, you know, they really made the wrong call. Can you kind of explain what the rule actually is and just really how it did actually benefit this team?
Sure. It's a rule essentially that we have expanded the protection for defenseless players, you know, throughout the course of the time that I've been on the competition committee. And so what that essentially did is what we were trying to do, there were some tactics and some techniques that some of the clubs were doing a year ago where they would attack the center on either field goals, extra points, and even sometimes in punts. And so what we tried to do is give that player added protection to the head, neck, and head and neck area. And so while the defender, worked across John's body and he might have hit his helmet, it was not the intent of what the rule is designed to do. That's more for those more egregious types of plays. And that's why I think you saw Dean Blandino, who is in charge of our officiating department, come out and say that's not quite the play that we want called. And so I think we'll get that cleaned up. But I like the fact that the officials are focused on it, because I do think that obviously player safety is something that we want to continue to evolve.
As it unfolded and as you were watching it, is that something that you knew probably shouldn't have been called at that point? Were you kind of holding your breath? What were you thinking at the time?
Well, I'm in those meetings, and so I know the intent of why we write the rules and how we want them enforced. And so, I was asked if I thought that was a foul. I didn't think it was necessarily aggressive enough to be a foul. And so, but at the time, I sure was happy they called it.
Absolutely. All right, let's look forward now. You've got Antonio Smith coming back this week, suspension. Just how is he going to affect the dynamic of this team? And I know you're glad to have him back out there on the field.
Yeah, sure we are. I mean, obviously, we were fortunate to get through that week one game with a victory. But I think his energy that he has, I mean, obviously his pass rush, his leadership. I mean, Antonio is one of our team leaders, and so to get him back, I think he's motivated. I think he'll add a dimension to our team that he demonstrated last year, that he's an important member of our defense. And so you get Cushing back last week, and obviously he impacted the football game. You get Antonio back, so we start to hopefully Ed is on his way back very, very soon. And so hopefully we'll get the entire group together so that we start to play consistent defense, not just a half of defense.
You mentioned Brian Cushing, and we spent a lot of time talking about him and his re-signing last week. It's got to make you pretty happy to know that with all that's been invested in him, he came back as strong as he did.
Well, it did. I mean, and you're happy for Brian. I think we're very, very comfortable as an organization with the commitment that we made to him, and he earned that, and he has earned our trust, and we certainly know that we can count on him. But for him to go out personally and go and make a play like that, it was just a tremendous football play. They demonstrated everything that he has. He's instinctive. He's athletic. He's all of those things. He's fiery. It was a point in time in the game that we needed a play. We needed one of our playmakers to emerge and make a play. And he did that, and it was just fun to see that for him.
You told me you've been looking at the Titans really all morning. Just if you can sum it up, the biggest challenge, what's this team facing when they're coming to town?
Yeah, the biggest thing that just jumps out at the screen to me, Patty, is they want to be a physical football team, and that's what I saw. They want to run the ball, and they're running a power play, and they're coming off the line of scrimmage, and they're knocking people around, and defensively they're aggressive, and so we're going to have our hands full.
All right. Thank you so much. Of course, you can join us each and every week here on Texans Weekly and hear from this guy, Rick Smith, right here. But right now, we have to take a timeout. Don't go away. We told you Antonio Smith's back. He's back on his radio show as well, and we followed him to the Texans Grill. Stay with us.
He's a very vocal leader, and he's emotional, and he brings a lot of passion into his locker room. So, it's great to have him back, obviously.
Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Now, we're not the only ones back. Of course, Antonio Smith is back after serving his 3-game suspension after swinging his helmet at Richie Incognito in game 2 of the preseason against the Miami Dolphins. Now, we had a chance to follow Antonio out to his radio show at the Houston Texans Grill, which he does each and every Tuesday. And this was really the first opportunity we have had to hear from Antonio, and he addressed exactly what happened.
We welcome the Ninja, and thanks a lot for being here today. You're back.
Yes. I'm back from exile.
What was it like for you? We got to get into how you watched the game and your emotions and all of it. What was it like for you to be away? I know that could not have been easy.
It was weird. I think that's the best way to describe it, to be sitting there watching, a game that you kind of picture yourself being in. It was weird, very weird.
I can imagine. Yeah, I know that had to be strange for you, and I thought they missed you last night. I really did. And, Jared Crick did a nice job and everything. Did a nice job for you on the show last week, by the way. But clearly this is a situation where, you guys look for certain matchups up front, look for doubles and things like that. You're capable of getting them. Obviously, J.J. Watt is capable of getting them as well.
Yeah, I missed them. I know that.
Yeah.
You know, I know that watching him play out there, you know, it kind of stuck me a little bit. I got teary out there for a minute.
Does it feel like you're missing the final exam? You know, one of those bad dreams where you didn't study all semesters.
It actually felt like a bad dream. It felt like a bad dream. But then once the game was on, and before the game, you know, I had a lot of text messages. You know, Daniel Manning texted me, Cushion texted me, JJ texted me, and you know, they gave me some encouraging words, and you know, it made me still feel like I was there, even though I wasn't. You know, and I think that's just a tale of what type of team we have. You know, and being able to watch the game and see the things that I saw, you know, and be able to critique them a little bit like I'm going to do tomorrow, yeah. Because I'm Tone the coach, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So take us through that again. I mean, I don't want to relive the entire incident, but did you think you had a shot at it only being two preseason games? Because when I heard that, there was one report out there that said that was all it was going to be.
Yeah.
I thought, well, okay, you know, you could certainly deal with that, but then it became a regular season contest as well.
Well, the initial word that I heard, which when I heard it was like the initial final word, it was like that it was going to be two preseason games, you know, that was going to be it. They was going to probably hit me with a harsher fine than just the two preseason game checks, but you know, it was going to just be the two preseason games. But I think the media helped that on out.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
They added to it?
It blew it up. Once it blew up, you know, the NFL got to do what the NFL got to do.
It looked like you held up a little bit during the incident. It looked like if you wanted to, it could have been a lot worse than it really was.
I definitely restrained myself, you know, whether who believes me or not. I know the Lord believes me, because if I really wanted to, I could have just as easily, you know.
Sure.
But I held up a little bit, but nevertheless, the one thing that out of all of this that I seen is in the rule book, it just says swinging the helmet. It don't say with intent to hit somebody, anything like that. So the NFL got to do their job. They doing what they got to do, I guess.
I got to ask you this, though, Antonio. I've said before, you're no stranger to the occasional 15-yard penalty, okay? It's happened before. what happens on the football field? I know tempers have to flare. I mean, you're there you are. You're in an altercation on every single play with another human being, so it's bound to get that way.
Yeah, it gets that way sometimes. It depends on the type of player that you're playing against. But most of the time, I'm really just having a lot of fun out there, and it shows. You know, I laugh a lot, I joke a lot, like an on-field comedian, you know, at times. But every now and then, you know, you get in one of those epic battles where it's like, you know, I feel like it's good versus evil, you know. And then when it's good versus evil, my true ninja within comes out.
So when the game, in that Miami game, when you came out, was it the good that was coming out, and it just sort of something snapped all of a sudden, or did you sort of go into the game thinking like, I don't like this guy, and you know, remembering sort of what happened the year before?
Being perfectly honest, which
yes,
I
please.
Always am, you know, I keep it 100. It's going into that game, I almost felt like a freedom fight. I was like, somebody has to say something or do something about this guy. Because we was watching film in the film room coming into the game, and he was twisting guys' ankles and doing all kind of things. And so,
and by guys, you mean you?
Huh?
By guys, you mean you?
No, this is the teams that he was playing in preseason.
Other teams.
In the preseason.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Recent film, you know. And
right.
So
game one of the preseason.
Everybody in the film room was like, man, this guy, I can't believe they just keep letting this guy do that. And I guess I took it within myself and like, man, if this guy do, if he do one, I'm not taking this no more. He do one thing. And you know how you speak something into existence?
Right.
And, you know, I went through the game and I was like, on that play, I was really like nonchalant. And lo and behold, bow, over. Bop, bop.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It kind of hurt. My nose still hurts right now.
Well, really?
Yes.
It still hurts right now.
Still.
And when you talk about good versus evil, by the way, we're talking about Richie Incognito, by the way, in case you haven't guessed it, the Dolphins player that Antonio kind of got into it with on numerous occasions, actually. This goes back to NFC West days, does it not?
Yeah, this goes back to Big 12. 12 Oklahoma State days.
It goes back a long way.
Yeah. Now,
you guys were both out there for the coin toss in the Dolphins-Texans preseason game.
Yeah.
Was there a handshake? Because I didn't – did not shake
no
hands.
He did not shake my hand. As a matter of fact, he looked at me, looked down at my ankle, smiled, and was like
really?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Scandalous.
That is unbelievable. It is good versus evil.
Yeah.
All right, we have to take one final time out here on Texans Weekly, but don't go away. When we come back, more from Antonio Smith out at the Houston Texans Grill. This time, he's fielding questions from his teammates. Stay with us.
Texans Weekly has been brought to you in part by Amegy Bank of Texas, the official bank of the Houston Texans, and by Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network.
Welcome back to Texans Weekly. Now, during Antonio's weekly show out at the Houston Texans Grill, he'll usually field some questions from not only Mark Vandermeer, DP Sidhu, and Drew Doherty of Texans Radio, but he takes questions from the fans in the audience as well. This week, however, on his first night back, he fielded questions from his very own teammates.
And right now, we'll get back to all the football questions, but Antonio's teammates get involved. We call this Ask Antonio, and some of his teammates have questions for him. One of them wears number 99, and I think number 56 is in the background as well, chiming in. Let's listen.
What's up? I'm J.J. Watt. I'm Antonio's fellow D-line mate. And Tom, my question for you is... You know you're a ninja. You did all your ninja training, man. I've never seen any actual training or any videos of you training or anything. So we're all wondering, man, where did you do your training? And I know you say Shaolin Temple, but I've never seen any proof. So maybe we can get some proof.
Okay. Where have you done the ninja training? What they want evidence, I think, Antonio. What can you share with us?
There is no proof of ninja training. Ninjas train in secret so that our secrets cannot be exposed to the universe.
I see. So you
That's
cannot
a great loophole.
You cannot reveal this information. I mean, that what better answer is
it
there than that?
The ninja code.
Yeah, see, it's a ninja code thing. So, JJ, ninja code, you can't reveal where the training
is. It's a big secret.
Is Brian Cushing the opposite of a ninja because ninjas are stealthy and secret and quiet? And you obviously heard Cushing messed up JJ. JJ was ready to ask the question. It was thought out and well prepared, but Cushing kind of got in his grill, didn't he?
Yeah, but Cushing has many faces just like me. That interception he had was very ninja like, you know. Mm. Phillip Rivers never seen him coming.
Touché.
That's right. He didn't see him appear. Okay, let's go to TJ Yates, the number two quarterback. He has a question for Antonio.
Well, last year he brought his skinned alligator into the locker room and then he made a pair of boots out of it. Antonio, I want to know what's your next animal you're going to kill and skin and make into a piece of clothing.
All right, but
first of all, did you really do that?
Yes, I did.
You brought in a skinned the alligator skin?
Yes.
Or the alligator without the skin?
The alligator skin.
Okay.
Yes.
And then you just kept it in your locker? Or did you take it home and make the shoes?
No, I kept it in the locker for a while just to show it off, you know. Took some pictures with it and then...
But it was like treated and...
It was already
in the shape of an alligator like how snakes
no,
get
it was just
have like eye holes or anything like that.
But I do have the head, though, and it looks exactly like it did when I shot it.
Oh, you shot it yourself?
Yes.
Where'd you do this?
In Eagle Lake, Texas.
Okay, Eagle Lake, that's off I-10, right? You go
off
west.
The 90.
Okay.
Highway 90.
So you go to shoot an alligator. So how big was it?
That alligator was a 50-foot alligator. the guy that went with me hunting, that took me hunting, said, you always got to exaggerate how big an alligator was.
I think there was a movie made about this alligator in like the 1970s.
Yes.
Lake Placid.
It lived in the sewers. And, yeah.
Okay. 50 feet, huh?
People through the toilet.
No, it was
a lot of shoes.
Nine-foot alligator.
That's still a big, pretty dangerous
stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
it scared me.
Have you ever been chased by one or anything like that? Threatened?
It didn't chase me, but when I took my alligator in, thinking that, man, I got a big alligator, you know.
Right.
And I take mine off the truck, a guy pulls in behind me at the same place, and he opens his bed, and it's a big 12-foot alligator. But when he pulls it off the truck, it hits the ground, and I guess it was like CPR or something, because it wasn't dead. It woke up.
Whoa.
And just tail went up in the air and did that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it tied? It wasn't tied up or
no,
anything, because he thought
they
it was
thought
dead.
It was dead.
Did it run away, or was it kind of half dead?
Again.
All right, one more question from Ask Antonio, and this would be Dwayne Brown, your Pro Bowl left tackle. Let's hear from Big Dwayne.
Let's see this.
What's up, Antonio? Dwayne Brown here. My question for you is, how many years of studying does it take to become a grandmaster?
All right, so the ninja training secret, but is this something you can reveal how long it takes to be a grandmaster?
Yes, that can easily be revealed. And there is no amount of years it takes to become a grandmaster. You just have to reach the upper level where your body creates a sublime glow, and then you become the master.
I'm sorry.
Folks, you got to see his face.
He's so good. He's so good when he comes up with these answers.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's
what is a sublime glow?
I'm
have
seeing
two
it right
glows.
Now.
You have a red glow and a golden glow.
Uh-huh.
Red glow is an evil glow. It sparks out something.
That's like Richie, incognito glow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you have the golden glow that's like Bruce Leroy like. You know?
Uh-huh.
And that glow is
not Bruce Lee, but
Bruce Leroy.
There we go, Bruce,
Bruce Leroy.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that is
he's
your
not
sublime
as familiar
glow.
To me.
That is that is just a picture of the sublime glow.
I love it.
Okay,
yes.
Good stuff. Well, that's Ask Antonio, and Antonio's teammates will chime in every week to give us a few questions to ask the ninja. And it doesn't have to be the ninja. It could be Tone Stradamus. It could be Antonio Smith, football player, who we also know and very much appreciate.
Always great to hear from the ninja. Couldn't be happier to know that he will be back out on the field on Sunday against the Tennessee Titans. We also hope to see you out at Reliance Stadium. And if you are coming out to the game, wear your Liberty White. Stop by the Bud Plaza. Check out Texans Countdown Live, our brand new show, 10 a.m. on Sunday morning. We'll be on the air from 10 to 11. Come by, say hello, be a part of the show. If you're not coming out here, be sure to tune in and watch right here on Fox Sports Southwest. Have a great weekend, everyone.